Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Sprint kayaking is making its debut at the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio this week. And that means it's also the first time for 33-year-old sprint kayaker Elena Nichols to compete at the Paralympic level. Well, at this sport, anyway. Nichols is no rookie. She is already a six-time Paralympic medalist and the first American female athlete to win gold medals in both the summer and winter games. Before sprint kayaking, she competed in para-alpine skiing, and before skiing, she won a gold medal in wheelchair basketball. Now, Nichols' role as an Olympic champion is only part of her story. She's been an athlete her whole life. A snowboarding accident left her paralyzed from the waist down at 17 years old. And in 2009, when she was already competing on the world stage, her older brother was murdered. But Nichols has committed to being a positive example for other people, and that can only be reinforced if she can grab a seventh career medal, this time in the sprint kayak finals, coming up on Thursday.
Part of what's really motivated me up until this point, I guess, so going back to my original story, I broke my back in a snowboarding accident when I was 17 years old and became paralyzed at that point. And before that injury, I was a three-sport athlete in high school. So I played basketball, volleyball, and softball then. And after my injury, you know, becoming a person with a significant disability and having to use a wheelchair every day, I didn't know that I could be an athlete anymore. And for me, after learning about all of these opportunities, I just was chomping at the bit to try everything. And for me, one of the most motivating things is just to see what I can do. And it's also about showing other young women with disabilities what they can do and what's possible for people with disabilities.
You've talked about what it meant for you to turn to sports after your injury, after seeing other athletes perform, not wanting, frankly, to even go on living when you went from being an athlete to being somebody in a wheelchair, and about the loss of your brother when you already were an athlete and what mobility and sports have meant to you.
Yeah, I didn't want to go on living. And also life post-traumatic loss of my brother was unbearable. And it was really sports, namely wheelchair basketball after my injury and then alpine skiing after my brother died, that got me back into life and that allowed me to keep moving forward. Part of what I've been so passionate about doing since my injury is really breaking that perception down, showing people what's possible, skiing down a mountain at 70 miles per hour, doing three sports at a Paralympic level, and then, you know, more importantly, getting my master's degree at the University of Alabama and teaching young women that they have so much more to offer than they think they do. And just because they're disabled doesn't mean that they can't dream big.
Well, Elena, another aspect of this that you've addressed in some ways is the myth that disabled people are condemned to a sedentary life, that to be in a wheelchair, for instance, means to be sedentary.
You know, I understand that in the early 60s and 70s, you know, people with disabilities were not treated equally, and it wasn't until the Americans with Disabilities Act came along in the early 90s that we started to see some equality. But I think we're still really dealing with this idea of what a person with a disability has to offer. You know, we've set our expectations so low for people with disabilities. We don't expect them to get jobs. We don't create opportunities for them to get involved in mainstream workforce. And that really puts a damper on what people with disabilities think that they can do. And, you know, one of the most important things is raising awareness. If I can do my job physically as an alpine skier with a significant disability, I think it's possible for people to adapt a work environment for anybody with a disability. And as a person with a disability early on, I literally counted all the things that I had lost. I'd never play fast pitch softball in college. I wouldn't, you know, dance in high heels, you know, whatever it looked like. I was looking at all the negatives. And it wasn't until I started playing sports that I started thinking about, oh, okay, you know what, I know how to play basketball. I understand the game. I've got my arms, those work. I've got my heart and my passion for sport. And I can play this at a Paralympic level. And with that, I can go on to get a master's degree in kinesiology and help other athletes become the best that they can be. And, you know, that for me was a huge turning point when I started to look at all the things that I could do as opposed to what I couldn't do.
So let's get back to Rio and the games you're competing in now. There was so much scrutiny of the infrastructure built for all of the games this summer and into the fall. How has the infrastructure been from your perspective, both in terms of access, but in terms of the event sites and the venues that you're competing in?
You know what? Everything is awesome. I wasn't sure what to expect. I had gotten some report from the Olympic athletes I know, and you know what? It's the mainstream media has really got away about blowing up the negative aspects of each games. And this is my fifth Paralympic Games now, and each individual games that I've been to has had something that the media has just latched on to. Here in Rio, they really harped on the water quality. They've really harped on the infrastructure, but everything is working just fine for every type of disability here in the village. My particular venue is perfectly accessible for people in wheelchairs or on crutches. I think the Brazilian people have done a great job with hosting. I know it certainly wasn't easy on their economy and, you know, their communities, but I think that they've embraced this sort of chaos. You know, any city that holds a games is it's going to be chaotic, and I think they've done a really great job with it.
So, Elena Nichols, is this it for you? This is your fifth games. Is there a sixth in store? I mean, you compete in summer and winter, so it's only 2 years before
Right.
you could be back on the slopes for the USA.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I might be racking up sports, and I more recently just learned how to surf. So it's
Oh.
adaptive surfing, and I love it. I love everything about adaptive surfing. I sit on what's called a wave ski, which is a 7 foot 6 inch long board by 25 inches wide. It has a hip strap, and I use a kayak paddle to propel myself into the wave. Once I'm on the wave, I dig the paddle into the water to cut up and down the wave and perform. And I love the experience altogether, and I'm hoping to spearhead this movement and get it into the Paralympic Games in 2024, where hopefully LA will be hosting.
Well, Elena Nichols, I want to wish you all the luck this week in sprint kayak in Rio at the Paralympics, going for your seventh Paralympic medal for the USA. Good luck.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks again for covering this. It's awesome.
Elena Nichols joined me from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, where she's competing in her fifth Paralympic Games, this time in the sprint kayak. Her story is also profiled in a new documentary film, Tin Soldiers, that's available now on iTunes and Amazon Video.